So today we celebrate the third Sunday of Lent, and we are kind of making our way through. And historically, traditionally, going all the way back to the earliest practices of the church, every single document that we have in the earliest practices of the church is that Easter, especially the Easter Vigil, not only is that the highest solemnity of the year, it's the most solemn, it's the most exalted, it's the most praise of the solemnities, but that is also the time of the year when we bring the new people into the church, the neophytes or the elect or the catechumens, so to speak. And leading up to that, the season of Lent has always been traditionally a period of preparation, not just for Christians themselves, those who are already of the faith, but those who are joining and entering into the faith. And so that's why on the third Sunday of Lent, there's this optional reading that, you know, there's the three-year cycle of readings, year A, year B, and year C. And currently we are in year C, but for the next three Sundays, we have, if you are bringing people into the church at Easter, you do what's called the scrutinies. And it's less of like, we use the word scrutiny, it's when we think of scrutinizing something, we think of like, you know, we're really, really digging into it and examining it or something. It's not so much that, but it's more of a preparation for those who are to be baptized to kind of help them mentally prepared to turn from sin and to have the opportunity for repentance throughout the season of Lent. The same thing that applies to all of us, but for them on a new level. So the church gives us these readings on the next several Sundays, specifically for the scrutinies of year A. Today is the woman at the well. And really, it's this idea of conversion. It's this idea of encountering Christ, having something change, having a new spark lit within us, and walking away different. That's the summation of this gospel. And I really don't, I wish we could all just sit down and just spend hours digging into this particular passage. It's just packed with so much, there's symbolism and meaning and richness and just all kinds of different layers within this gospel. But for our intents and purposes, I'm just going to stick to the surface level of conversion. When we have an authentic encounter with the Lord, when we turn from sin, when we recognize, I'm not in the best of places, and maybe there is a different path forward. Not only can that be powerful for us, but it's powerful for the people around us. The result, the fruit of this woman's encounter with the Lord is to rush into the town and say, hey, I met a man who has told me everything about myself. The woman who went to the well in the middle of the day, and, you know, I guess commentators have said that you don't go to the well in the middle of the day. Like, all the ladies of society, they go in the morning when it's cool. And so if you go in the middle of the day, it's because you're kind of an outcast. You're a bit of an outsider, you know. The woman who had five husbands, obviously there was shame surrounding that. And she there's a reason why she didn't bother saying, are you married? Yes, I'm married. No, I do not have a husband. She knew. In her heart of hearts, she knew. And rather than allowing the shame to kind of back off or create the wedge between her and God, the Lord reaches right into the midst of it and offers her mercy, compassion, eternal life. She's not rejected in that place of shame. And as she goes forth from that encounter with the Lord and she tells the people about Jesus, that is the fruit of an authentic encounter with him. That, brothers and sisters, is called evangelization. The best definition I've ever heard of evangelization is one beggar telling another beggar where they can find bread. That is evangelization. I've encountered the Lord. He's told me everything about myself. I am different now. I want you to come meet him. That is the fruit that Christians are supposed to be bearing in our lives. So I just ask you, I'd leave you this meditation. When Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, unless you remain in me, you cannot bear fruit. Like, you know, you look at the fig tree, and that would have been the reading for today. It's the parable of the fig tree, the guy who had the vineyard planted a fig tree, and it didn't bear fruit, and he was going to cut it down. And the difference between the fig tree that's cut down and the ones that are left is whether or not they bear fruit. You know, there's also the parable of the fig tree that Jesus curses. He comes, he wants to get fruit, there's no fruit, so he curses it, and it shrivels up and dies. So I guess the question is, are we bearing fruit in our lives? That tree that Jesus walked up to, full of leaves, bright leaves, green, he goes up to it, and at the outside it looked all well and good, but there is no fruit. And in our lives, I think a lot of Christians, we have a good exterior show, bright green leaves and big, tall, long branches, but there is no fruit. And I think that's because we are no longer attached and connected to Christ. Cut a branch off of a tree and leave it out in the yard, you're not going to get fruit off of it. And so this woman, in her encounter with Christ, rushes into the town, shares the story of what happened, and instantly there is fruit being born. Many came to believe in him. So I just, as a point of our own examination, to ask the question, am I bearing fruit in my life? Is there evidence of that fruit? Am I sharing the fruit of my prayer, my encounter with the Lord? Am I helping other people come to encounter Christ more effectively, more firmly? Whether it's my family, whether it's my coworkers, whether it's whoever those people are that God puts in my life, is that happening? And if the answer is no, why not? How do I reattach to the tree so that I can bear fruit in my life? This time, I'd like to call our elect to please come forward. And their sponsors as well. Dear brothers and sisters, let us pray in silence for these elect, that they may be given a spirit of repentance, a sense of sin, and true freedom of the children of God. Elect of God, please bow your heads or kneel and pray. Let us pray for these elect, who have already made a long journey and whom the church has confidently chosen, that when their preparation is complete, they may find Christ in his sacraments at the Paschal feasts.
That they may ponder the word of God in their hearts and savor its meaning more fully day by day. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may learn to know Christ, who came to save what was lost, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may humbly confess themselves to be sinners, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may sincerely reject everything in their lives that is displeasing and contrary to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Holy Spirit, who searches every heart, may help them overcome their weakness through his power, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the same Holy Spirit may teach them to know the things of God and how to please him, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That their families also put their hope in Christ and peace and holiness in Him, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we ourselves, in preparation for the Easter feast, may seek a change of heart, give ourselves to prayer, and persevere in our good works, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That throughout the whole world, whatever is weak may be strengthened, whatever is broken, restored, whatever is lost, found, and what is found, redeemed, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For these and all the petitions in our prayer box, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, who sent your Son to us as Savior, grant that these elect, who desire to draw living water like the Samaritan woman, and having been converted by the word of the Lord, may acknowledge the hindrance of their own sins and weaknesses. Do not prevent them, we pray. Do not permit them, we pray, to rely on a vain confidence in themselves and to be deceived by the power of the evil of the devil, but free them from the spirit of untruth so that, recognizing their sinfulness, they may be cleansed inwardly and advance on the way of salvation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.